that sound definitely brings back the summer. I must say that I really like cicada songs. One of the most interesting, pleasant places where I collected cicadas in Chile was this little hot spring resort town high up in the Andes. It was full of cicadas. They were so abundant, just like landing on us, and that was lots of fun. My name is Piotr Lukasik. I'm a researcher at the Swedish Museum of Natural History in Stockholm, Sweden, and an incoming assistant professor at Jagiellonian University in Krakow, Poland.
Piotr Lukasik studies insects and their symbionts, the specialized microorganisms that live inside insect hosts' bodies and perform processes that the insects couldn't otherwise do. Originally from Poland, Piotr got his master's degree at Jagiellonian University in Poland and his PhD at the University of Oxford in England. There, he studied the diversity and ecology of facultative symbiotic bacteria of aphids. In 2014, he joined the lab of Dr. John McCutcheon at the University of Montana, where he spent the next 4 years conducting research on cicadas.
I really wanted to go deeper to understand those like even more intimate aspects of relationships among insects and their symbiotic bacteria.
In March of 2019, Piotr and his collaborators published a new study in the Journal of Heredity. This study was an analysis of 107 mitochondrial genomes of cicadas. Those cicadas all look a bit different.
They often have really spectacular coloration, often very intricate patterns. Some cicadas are quite hairy. It is really hard to say how a cicada looks like.
Even if you've never seen a cicada before, you've probably heard them, or at least heard of them. Just about every year in the eastern United States, cicadas emerge in droves, coating trees and filling the air with their creaking, ear-splitting songs. Those are periodical cicadas, which emerge as a group all at once. But cicadas live on every continent, except Antarctica, and they can sound like everything from a fire engine to squeaky machinery. Unlike periodical cicadas, most cicadas don't emerge all as one giant group, but their behavior is otherwise much the same.
They produce lots of noise, they mate, they lay eggs, and then they die. And several weeks later, the eggs hatch and the nymphs drop to the ground, dig in, attach to plant roots, and spend between generally 2 and 17 years.
Cicadas feed on plant sap. That plant sap isn't very nutrient dense though, so the cicadas need help.
Cicadas rely on specialized symbiotic microorganisms that inhabit their tissues for the production of those essential amino acids and vitamins.
Those specialized microorganisms that produce essential amino acids are the cicadas' symbionts, which Piotr also studies. Piotr's interest in the relationships between insects and their symbionts is part of what first drew him to his PhD research, and then to his postdoc at the University of Montana and this new Journal of Heredity study. The new study presents mitochondrial genomes from 61 species of cicada. For the study, Piotr and his fellow researchers wanted to develop a phylogenetic framework for cicadas. That's a sort of map for understanding the relationships between different species of cicada. They also wanted to understand the stability and organizational diversity of the cicada mitochondrial genome.
We were interested whether mitochondria of cicadas may also evolve in unusual ways. So one of the goals of the project was to understand the stability and the organizational diversity of cicada mitochondrial genomes.
In order to study the mitochondrial genome of 61 species of cicadas, Piotr needed to get his hands on a whole lot of cicadas. Many of the cicada specimens were contributed by researchers from around the world who also worked on the study. Other times, Piotr went out collecting cicadas himself.
Altogether, I spent about 3 months over the course of 3 years traveling across Chile, but also parts of Argentina, collecting lots of cicada specimens. Females are generally quiet, although they might click when they hear males, but then these are males that are singing, allowing the researcher to hopefully get close with the net and hopefully catch the singing male.
When Piotr and his fellow researchers brought the cicadas back to the lab, they started studying the genetic makeup of cicadas and their symbionts. Cicada nuclear genomes are huge, twice the size of the human genome, and they're very difficult to characterize. Because of this, they focused on mitochondrial genomes. What they found was that cicada mitochondrial genomes were remarkably stable. The genomes had changed very little since insects as we know them evolved.
We observed no major differences in the mitochondrial organization, so no rearrangements. Essentially, all cicadas retain the same ancestral organization of the mitochondrial genome as the apparent common ancestor of all insects. So in many insects, but also in other organisms, mitochondrial genomes have undergone very substantial changes. Compared to that, cicada mitochondrial genomes are relatively well-behaved and relatively conserved.
But the genomes of the cicada's symbionts, those microorganisms that produce necessary amino acids for the cicadas, those were different. Many of the symbionts' genomes were in turmoil. The symbionts first found their way into a common ancestor of a true bug clade that includes cicadas some 300 million years ago. It's likely that opportunistic bacteria infected the common ancestor, and that bacteria eventually stopped being pathogenic and became heritable, getting passed down from mother to offspring. Along the way, the bacteria, which by then were symbionts living entirely inside the cicadas, lost most of their starting set of genes.
Over the course of their evolution, they lost probably not less than 95% of the starting set of genes, resulting in some of the smallest genomes known for any cellular organisms.
Many of the genes that the symbionts retained related to the production of amino acids and vitamins. Those are the genes that the cicadas depend on the symbionts for. One particular cicada symbiont is a bacterium called Hodgkinia.
Hodgkinia became an obligate heritable nutrient-providing associate of cicadas. Its genome got reduced, losing probably some 97% of the ancestral set of genes.
Hodgkinia is symbiotic with multiple species of cicadas. In some cicadas, the genomes of Hodgkinia have remained stable. But in the periodical cicadas, those again are the cicadas that all emerge simultaneously, in those cicadas, Hodgkinia genomes haven't stayed stable at all. Instead, the Hodgkinia genomes have become much more fragmented, and they're quite different from what they evolved from.
In many cicadas, the Hodgkinia symbiont has undergone fragmentation, or essentially splitting into distinct lineages, each of which encodes only a small set of the ancestral, very compact set of genes. And it's all apparently evolving really fast and kind of like being really messy to the point that it's quite hard to say what exactly is going on. Those have really no precedence outside of cicadas.
Because of all that fragmentation, genomes of Hodgkinia lineages get even more reduced, sometimes to about the same size as the genome of a single mitochondria, and can encode even fewer genes. All that symbiont genome fragmentation has several implications. Piotr found that when cicadas' symbionts' genomes are stable, the cicada genomes have relatively slow evolutionary rates. When the cicadas' symbionts' genomes are more fragmented, the cicada genomes often have higher evolutionary rates. It's not entirely clear why this relationship works as it does, but having the phylogenetic framework created in the study is likely to be very helpful for understanding the relationship between insect hosts and their symbionts.
The collection of mitochondrial genomes that we gathered provide this essential phylogenetic framework, which allows us now to get a better understanding of the broader range of evolutionary forces acting upon hosts and their symbionts. Thanks to the work presented in this paper, we have also been able to see actual differences in evolutionary rates among different cicada clades, which in at least some cases appear correlated with what happened to the nutritional symbionts.
Piotr is moving on now. He finished his postdoc at the University of Montana in 2018, and he'll soon be heading back to Jagiellonian University in Poland. There, he'll be starting a research group that will focus on describing the microbiomes of the same insect suborder that cicadas are a part of. They'll also be looking at symbioses in a much broader range of insects. The research group will routinely sequence mitochondrial genomes from large numbers of insect individuals and expect to be sequencing and characterizing thousands more mitochondrial genomes. Mitochondrial genome research, like this Journal of Heredity study, will be critical in his upcoming project. But as it turns out, all this cicada and symbiont research doesn't just have implications for insects. Hodgkinia's genome is nearly as small as mitochondria. It's generally agreed that mitochondria themselves started out as symbionts some 2 billion years ago. So understanding how symbionts function and evolve within an organism can give us an idea of how mitochondria might have done the same.
Looking at the symbionts allow us to understand some of the processes that have likely led to the evolution of mitochondria, those critical organelles that inhabit all of our cells and the cells of almost all eukaryotes.
Thank you to Piotr Lukasik for teaching me all about cicadas and their symbionts, and thank you to Piotr and all of his fellow study authors for their fascinating research in this Journal of Heredity study. David Marshall and Piotr Lukasik supplied the cicada songs. You can hear more incredible cicada songs on David Marshall's website, insectsingers.com. This story was produced by me, Chantal Koff-Schultz, for the Journal of Heredity and the American Genetic Association. Come back soon.